All right, folks, it's Sunday night, the 23rd day of August, 2026, and man, we have got incredible information as usual, and it just gets more intense by the day. Stay with us, Channel Live Feeds.
Tomorrow's news today.
It is the end of the world as we know it, and I don't feel fine.
That's great. It starts with an earthquake, birds and snakes, an airplane. Lenny Bruce is not afraid. I have a hurricane. Listen to yourself. Turn world serves its own needs. Dummy serve your own needs. Beat it up an ox. Speak grunt. No strength. The ladder starts to clatter with fear. Fight down. High wire in a fire. Representatives have engaged in a government for hire in a combat site. Left the West coming in a hurry with the furies breathing down your neck. Team by team reporters babble Trump. Gather crop. Look at that. No plane. Fine. Then. Uh-oh. Overflow. Population common. Poop and it'll do. Save yourself. Serve yourself. World serves its own needs. Listen to your heart.
Remember when Lindsay Clancy a few years ago murdered three of her children, strangling them to death with exercise rubber bands. But I got to tell you, in the last few days, I did the deep dive on it, and it's very haunting. There's now been a copycat, attempted triple murder, a woman in North Dakota, and she killed two of the kids, didn't the other one that slit their throat, but they survived. And just looking at images of the little baby in the hospital and more, has torn my guts out. And more importantly is the leftist women celebrating it and defending it. It is the Moloch, Jezebel, Satan spirit that we're dealing with here. And so later in the broadcast, later in this first hour, probably pretty soon I'm going to get to it. It's not something I want to do, but we have to humanize these little children that were murdered and all the others that are being murdered by their mothers, drowned in bathtubs, driven off into lakes in cars, burned alive, the throat slit, strangled, shot. And the fact that women, particularly white liberal women, are defending it and even celebrating it, truly, absolutely, absolutely sick. And it just goes on and on and on. But when I finally, Friday night, said, let me just look into this more, the phenomenon, and I went down a rabbit hole for about 5 hours, didn't go to sleep till about 3 a.m. It took a piece of me because I've got four children and I do anything for them, and I recognize what it is, the satanic spirit of Moloch, of Baal worship. And then when I read about the oldest child, not much more than a toddler, fighting his mother while she was strangling the little ones, one 8 months old, and then running, screaming, you know, daddy, daddy, daddy. She had missed all this. And he went to his office in the house thinking daddy would be there. And then she strangled him there. And then you see these women celebrating it. I'm just done with these scum. But you have to understand they're on SSR, as most of them, they're demonically possessed. But this is the type of stuff you see in a civilization before it totally collapses. And then we have all the economic and cultural and spiritual signs, military signs of that. And things don't look good. More and more, we just have to try to get right with God ourselves and have a remnant after this all goes down. We'd hope Trump could turn it around. He did pretty good the first 9 years of his political career, but the last year or so, it's been really rough. And we got the economic numbers coming in. The bond market's failing. The debt is out of control. The Treasury Secretary says we'll just have to grow our way out. There's really no chance of that now. And it's a serious situation. I can't sit here and lie to you about that. I'm not being black-pilled. I'm just being reality-pilled. We'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, Bigley has launched an online pharmacy, 1776rx.health. It's one product we're launching with, my decision, and that is ivermectin with benzidol, both powerful, really good anti-parasitics. It doesn't just get the big worms and all the crap that's out there. It's amoebas, it's microplasms. It is so important. These two together, I mean, ivermectin is a Nobel Prize winning for this, but benzidol is the big one. And folks, it isn't just parasites. Just search benzidol studies. Just put that into a search engine and you'll see congressional hearings. You'll see top scientists. You'll see all the studies on what else it does that they don't want you to know about. It's dramatic. So, and you won't know if you had any type of parasitical deal or whatever until you've done this. And a lot of people went there yesterday. A lot of people got it. Very smart move. 1776rx.health.
Mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Sunday Live. Woman carries out Lindsay Clancy copycat killing of her children in North Dakota as leftist women worldwide celebrate post-birth abortion. Deep Sea faces end of the line as world dumps U.S. bonds and ultimately the dollar. Plus, Iran threatens to attack U.S. allies. Please share the live feeds now at alexjoneslive.com, Real Alex Jones on X, and, of course, on rumble.com/The Alex Jones Show Live. Yes, on screen you have women at the courthouse there with Lindsey Clancy. Some cases, thousands of them showing up, and hundreds of there, basically constantly cheering for her, saying she's incredible. We love her. We support her. She's such a good person. Just absolute evil. And now we've got a copycat killing with a mother killed two of her children, slit in their throats, slit the other child's throat, but they survived in North Dakota. And she's now being praised. She'll probably raise it. Millions of dollars like Lindsey Clancy has. So I think it's important to humanize these children because nobody is at this trial of Lindsey Clancy in Massachusetts, the same place they just passed the law to kill babies up until the time they're born, even if they have laws where sometimes the baby pops out and then they can't kill it. So they passed a law that if the baby comes out all the way, they can still kill it. True vampiric evil. And so right there in Duxbury, Massachusetts, you've got these thousands of women coming out in support of all of this. And then you've got copycat stuff going on and all sorts of deranged women setting their houses on fire, torturing their kids on TV. What the hell's going on? These are almost all white liberal women. Yes, she was begging for help before her action of killing her children. Former mother-in-law testifies. So how was she supposed to be helped? Didn't even have a job, had everything taken care of, was upper middle class. Yeah, never take responsibility. Just take more SSRIs, take more drugs, take more suicide mass murder pills, as I told Piers Morgan in almost every mass shooting and even almost every case in the same show of women brutally murdering their children, normally drowning them, or strangling them is their favorite way to do it, or slitting their throats. They're almost always on these drugs as well. So, but you don't see the corporate media ever making that connection because that's one of their biggest advertisers. So we have all that information. I'll be getting to that coming up soon in this first hour. And then we're going to look at the deep state's attack on Trump supporters that have been asking Trump to stay true to his promises. They don't want his constituents trying to get Trump back on the straight and narrow, so there's a huge demonization campaign taking place that's totally backfired. Trump has attacked Tucker Carlson and others again. Trump rants about loser MAGA defectors, but Trump really defected from where he was. Then we have footage of the few recent Trump rallies Trump did in the last week, and you're talking maybe 1,000 people are at them in little bitty gymnasiums. These look like Joe Biden rallies or Kamala Harris rallies. And then all the influencers, the Trump apologists run around and say, oh, they're huge crowds. Or, oh, that was there early. And then we cut to shots of Trump there speaking, and it's maybe 1,000 people. That's what the poll numbers show, that Trump is flatlined. But they say it's patriotic just to be delusional and say everything's fine, everything's okay. But everything's not fine. Everything's not okay. In fact, just B-roll clip 75. Yeah, here it is. And then we have another clip of Trump comes out and speaks to that crowd. In fact, let's slow that down. I mean, and again, nothing against old people. I love old people. My parents are boomers, but it does show that's the one demographic still supports Trump, is 70 years of age and up. And if you look at that crowd, it's almost all 90% geriatrics. And again, they're still dialed into corporate media. They were able to kind of get past some of the inflation by housing values go up. They're not really aware of what's going on. But the point is, Trump lashing out and trying to blame Tucker Carlson for his political problems is a scapegoat and a cop-out. It's Trump and his endorsement of the Epstein cover-up and his endorsement of this horrible war and the unprecedented insider trading going on. Just as Nancy Pelosi did it doesn't mean it's okay for him to do it. As former Trump supporters who still are in full horror of the Democrats, don't support them, we have morals and we stand for things. And so we don't just go along with whatever the Democrats are pushing. We don't go along with whatever the Republicans are pushing. We stand for things. We have a roadmap of what we believe in and who we are. And so we're very sad that Trump has degraded to so much extent. At the same time, we've hoped to get him back on course, but he doesn't. All of the never Trumpers and people like that that are now his core supporters are a sliver of what he previously had. And we have the numbers on that. And so there is a day of doom coming and a day of reckoning for the boomers and others. And I saw a lot of the clips that we played on the Saturday show yesterday. Rex Jones did an excellent job. My son hosting the show. I'm taking care of ill family right now. So that's why I didn't host. But I got to say, Rex did as good a job as I would have done. He certainly developed and is really hitting a stride. Very, very proud and satisfied and cheerful to see that, because I need as much help as I can get, and so do you. But I am not happy to come to you with this prognosis for the country and the world, but we really do have a demonic infestation that has taken over our society, and we really have a true spirit of evil. What we need is a national and worldwide exorcism. We really do have a spiritual problem. That isn't just the base of this. That is the entirety of this. And I think the most important thing I can say up front is just hit the economic news and then segue into the cultural news that's the base and the core and the heart and the roots of why we're here, and really to talk about what we can expect to come next. You know, historians, futurists, our forebears, the Bible, many a good pastor have told us what happens when we forsake God and when we turn towards the world, the wages of sin or death. And a great nation that did follow God before, despite some of our problems, we were the most strong, godly nation ever faced the earth in modern history. Given enough time, God will remove the hedge of protection from a country, and I don't think anybody can doubt that that is where we are. So the first clip I want to play is clip 88. It's a very simple statement. So many clips I sent the crew, hundreds. It's a very simple statement, but it's also very profound. And that is the fact that everything you see happening to America and Europe and the West right now is emblematic of what we witnessed in the fall of the Soviet Union. But despite the communist-controlled country, at its base, if you actually study the Russians, they were never one-tenth as satanic with all the LGBT and all the pedophilia and all the drag queen story time and the infanticide and the government forced suicide that the West is now. And there's no doubt that when you look at true wickedness, the places you see it the worst are in the blue cities of the West and China to a great extent as well, and also in the Middle East and in some areas of Africa. And there's certainly enough evil to go around here, but we have to pull back and understand that when you look at all the political actions of both parties and also the major parties in other Western, formerly wealthy first world countries, and then you look at all the economic numbers that back that up, they know that the system's collapsing. And so rather than trying to stabilize it or fix it, they have moved into a mode of absolute accelerated looting. So they're headed for the exits, running off with everything not nailed down and everything nailed down. And you add that as really an icing to the cake, the wild-eyed kleptocratic behavior happening, and you know that the time is short. And I remember first getting on air 32 years ago, coming up in April, it'll be 33 years, hard to believe, April of next year. And I remember all the different economists and futurists and experts saying, 20, 30 years from now, we'll run out of room and we'll go default on the debt and we'll lose the dollar. The bankers have put us in all this debt and they've set up all these people that are trained to get government handouts. Then they're going to sell communism and socialism as the answer. And then we're going to have a October 17th deja vu moment. And I had former three-star generals telling me that on the show and the former head of the Army telling me that on the show and former high-level FBI agents and famous pastors and best-selling authors and really smart men and women like Charlotte Iserby and many others, men and women, Phyllis Schlafly, the list goes on and on. And so now we are here. I mean, it may take a month, it may take a year, but you can stick a fork in it. There's no turning this around now. That's why I was such a cheerleader for Trump. In his first 4 or 5 months, he was swinging for the fences, doing everything right. And then, like, somebody flipped a switch. He just got off track on every major issue and didn't try to stop the debt. Pretty much even abandoned policies that would have grown us out of this to some extent. Went ahead with this war that you now see the repercussions from and all the deception that surrounds it. And when you honestly look at all the pieces that are on the table, you can see what the puzzle is. It's like having a jigsaw. It's got 300 pieces. There's 4 or 5 left. You can already see what the picture is. You don't need to pop the pieces in place. And God works in mysterious ways. We still have a miracle. So I'm not making a prediction of total war and depression and all the hell that comes with it, but the bad guys have been preparing for this for a long time, and they are BlackRock and the major institutions are flogging us as fast as they can into this global crisis because they'll believe with the media and the culture and the system that when people are finally in bread lines, they will accept the new central bank digital currency, they will accept the global social credit score, they will accept the ESG corporate governance, that we will accept the vaccine passport, the medical tyranny. Now, COVID didn't go the way they wanted and backfired on them. But they are not backing down. They're doubling down on the next leg of their engineered global collapse. And every action I've seen is there's no one even putting brakes on it anymore. Trump was putting brakes on it for real. Elon Musk was putting brakes on it. He still is to some extent, though he sidestepped a lot of the politics and is doing it more corporately. And I'm not lionizing Elon Musk. That's just my analysis. But I think he understands he can't stop the public and the establishment from this self-harm. And so he is doing what he can from a limited position without putting himself directly in front of the train. So that's where we are. And I'll restate it. The wholesale, and I've used this term, biblical level insider trading and looting and insider deals. I mean, there's hundreds of examples with Trump, and the Democrats have increased their thieving as well. But Trump's the chief executive, and the horror of what he's doing is front and center, and it's a great betrayal. So on the latest fraud, I'm quite the expert and mainly focused on Trump, though I'm still aware of what the Democrats are up to. But the most dyed-in-the-wool, clear-cut example is a month ago, and he's now got a bunch of customers. They went ahead with it. $100,000 a month, Trump, before he posts, hours before, on Truth Social, tells you what economic announcements he's going to be making before even foreign governments, and they advertise in the prospectus that this will help you really make a lot of money in the market. That is the definition of insider trading. And Trump just says he'll just pardon his entire administration so they don't have anything to worry about. So that's the business plan there. And does that tell you Trump even cares about his legacy? Does that tell you Trump even cares about the future of the country? No. It means Trump thinks things are so bad, even if we're saying he's a good guy. Let's just say he's a good guy. He's decided to sell out to the system and make as much money as he can because he doesn't think things can be fixed anymore. And I think it's more cynical and darker than that. And then also I can't stand Mark Carney, former head of the Bank of England, a total globalist, that was only like 10% in the polls. But then when Trump bashed him in Canada a bunch and made it a nationalist issue, he ended up winning the prime ministership last year. Trump had put a 50% tariffs on them, and then they've now said they're going to go ahead and just have a trade war with us. And you could say, well, we'll end up beating them. In the final equation, the people lose. The bankers that want to drive us into economic submission win. And when you understand that Howard Lutnick had a hand in or wrote, depending on which tariff it is, most of the tariffs, and even a Supreme Court justice, when the Trump's main global tariffs got overturned earlier this year, wrote him a public letter and said, this was written wrong, this subsection, this the wrong codes. If you wrote this right, we would have upheld it. And Trump didn't rewrite it and reissue it. You had Lutnick, the Epstein buddy that got caught lying about it, Trump's chief financial advisor, saying that he was 100% these tariffs were safe and they were not going to be overturned. So most people dumped and sold, most corporations, their tariff insurance that they'd bought in case this hit them hard. He bought them up on average for about 25 cents on the dollar, bought most of them. And then he's now made tens of billions of dollars off of it with his company that his sons run. And that's just an example of how deep this setup goes. This is very cynical, very dark. And before I said, when this was unfolding months ago, I said, wow, Lutnick really screwed Trump, thinks Trump's an idiot. But I really, at this point, think Trump's in on the whole thing, getting a big slice of the pie just to get that insurance money. The most sure way. But regardless, that's what was done. So you just sit back and you just think about that for a little while. And then you got Hassan Piker getting up and giving a speech in a Mao Zedong outfit, praising the murderer, Charlie Kirk, and making a blasphemous, joke about it with Christian hymns, with the crowd celebrating. And so we, on the other side, we have people like that and Democrat liberal women celebrating the murder of little babies. Because it's all about power and death and their power to kill a kid and the satanic thrill that they get out of human sacrifice and Moloch worship. And it's just it's a disaster. But we can't sit there and criticize the Democrats and then not expose what some of the Republicans are doing. But by and large, if there is a moral compass and decent policies and ideas, it is within the Republican Party, at least the political manifestation at the state, local, and at some levels, the federal level. So there is really a big difference between Republicans and Democrats. But once you get to the very highest levels of power, even when people were doing the right thing for a long time, they tend to go sideways. And I guess they say that's just the power of Satan to overwhelm someone's will if they truly don't have God in them and the Holy Spirit. I think it's clear that's what's happened with Trump and the reason he's changed so much. You have a bunch of delusional boomers, though, that have their valuable real estate and who get the vast majority of all the welfare and social benefits, who just think we're party poopers when we criticize all this. And in the end, the whole Titanic's going to sink long before most of the boomers die. but there won't be any solace in the fact that I was right about that. It'll just be sad that we were unable to avert this total and complete disaster. So that's where we are on this 28th day of August, Sunday live transmission. So summing this up, that we are basically at the equivalent of the end of the Soviet Union. But the Soviet Union was not as powerful or influential as we are. It's not just the United States that's at the end of the line financially with the bond market and the debt and the rest of it. It's also basically every other nation in the world. So this is going to be the mother of all financial meltdowns in comparison any way you slice it. And you add to that the major military conflicts happening, the 10 billion people on the earth, and the fastness of communications and the general dumbed-down decadence of the general public who's enjoying the leftover gleam of the good old days, and the fact that most people are totally unself-sufficient. You add all that together, we are facing a particularly nasty, dark future that runs from bad to worse. And I just have a real responsibility to tell you the truth about that. I don't think any of you can deny what I'm saying. And if you've got a way to, we can avert this or get around this, I intend to open the phones up throughout the week this week. Spend a lot of hours, probably four or five hours at least this week, taking calls with your idea about how we can grab victory from the jaws of defeat, because I still believe there's a way out of this if we repent and go before God and ask God to heal our land. But without God, without a mass revival, I don't see that happening. And half the churches in this country, even a lot of the Catholic ones, not just Protestant ones, are foaming at the mouth, pushing total war, thinking they're about to force Armageddon and the end of the world. So I really don't know what to say at that point. Let's go out to break with Tucker Carlson. Well, it's too late to do that. Let's come back with Tucker Carlson talking about the Soviet Union parallel of where we are. Let's just do this now in a few minutes. Let me just give you some of these headlines. Questions rise after U.S. claims deeper control of Strait of Hormuz. We've been hearing for 177, 178 days. How many days are we now? 175, 176 into the war? That it's constantly open. And they are saying it looks like higher ship numbers are going through. That's a good thing. But Iran just says that they're warning ships not to go through. They're preparing a new attack on ships. And I think they clearly have the power to do that. So, you know, has Trump found some way out of this? I hope that's the case, but it looks like a day late, a dollar short where the economy is. Iranian hackers shut down UK power plant, we're told. We'll be looking at that. Are America's vast Gulf bases worth rebuilding? Financial Times, Pentagon now admits most our bases have been damaged or completely destroyed. Remember, for months they hid that fact from you. Tucker is being attacked again, totally irrelevant, by Trump. But if we're totally irrelevant, why do you keep talking about us all day? Why are your numbers so low? You did this to yourself. We're trying to get you to change course. Trump called himself the king of debt. Now Bank of America says the U.S. will spend $2 trillion more than it brings in this year. Did you hear that? Do you know what that means? It's not good. Continuing, Trump is in another unwinnable war, this time with the bond market. We'll look at the bond market when we come back. The bond market is going to bust. The stock market bubble. I agree with Market Watch's statement on that. And this is the really important article we're going to read over. Biblical levels of insider trading. New prediction market monetizes anything in live streams. Trump's underwater in polls in 47 states. And D.C. new projection finds. After decades of free spending, Washington's facing some unpalatable choices. That's all coming up. And then I've got, like I said, this new fetish. It's not a new one. They're just expanding it, of liberal white women to kill their babies. We'll hit all of that coming up. Listen, right now at thealexjonesstore.com, when you buy our ultramethylene blue, the very best, it's so good for your cells, instant energy, cleans out your body. It is the most amazing product we've got at thealexjonesstore.com. You get a bottle of ultramethylene red, proprietary product that supercharges it, but acts great on its own with it. So buy the methylene blue, get the methylene red capsules, absolutely free, a huge value at thealexjonesstore.com. Now, I had them dig up from March when I first took this methylene blue a few years ago on air and what it did, blowing away any methylene blue I ever took. Here it is. Now, decades ago, we looked at selling you methylene blue. The problem is you couldn't get pharmaceutical grade. It was something nobody knew about. Now, because the world's awakened to it, there's a bunch of pharmaceutical grade makers of it. My doctor's medical doctor at the clinics all over the state said, you need to get on methylene blue. told me how to buy it online. Said, be sure to get USP, which means pharmaceutical grade. I take it here and there. Feels like you're plugged into electricity. It gives you really clean energy. And I thought, yeah, this is great. You know, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is the HHS head. He talks about how great it is. He takes a whole bunch of it. Wouldn't take three droppers like he does, even the weak stuff. So we've had the new methylene blue in, now available at thealexjonesstore.com, for about a week. And I already had mine. And I'm like, yeah, I'm sure it's all USP. I'm sure it's great. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll remember to take, you know, mine. It was just another brand my doctor recommended. And then yesterday at about 3 o'clock, I'm watching him shoot B-roll for our new methylene blue that's from one of the top makers in the United States that supplies the big box stores that have it and sell it for $10 more than we do. It's a big bottle, too. Ultra Methylene Blue, the highest grade strength USP. I take a dropper and put it in my iced tea. I drink it. And I'm not a placebo guy. I'm like, okay, I'm taking methylene blue before I figure out. You know, the one my doctor told me to get, I'm sure. You know, sure, we'll see if it's as good. 15 minutes later, I feel my hair on my body standing up, and I feel actually an electric current in my through my fingers, in my hands, and running up my back. And I start, I'll be honest, I start itching, and I go take my shirt off and look in the mirror because I'm itching, and my skin wasn't like hives. It wasn't a rash. My skin turned red. Not bright red, but red. I already got, you know, I tan easily. It's a little bit of Native American in me, so I've always got a little bit of a tan anyways. Even if I'm not getting any sun, I'm still a little bit of a tan. But it was like, I was like glowing. I was like, what the? And Chase guy was like, yeah. And he looks like a mad scientist. I'm like, I've been taking a lot of it. His hair's like, ah. And I'm like, okay. And then I swear, okay, you know, swear to God, I'm just saying, I swear on my children, okay. Do not take the full dose, because I drank half the glass, put it down, was busy, forgot to drink the rest, and didn't drink the other half. I was still sitting here this morning, because I'm sitting around here doing work when I drank it. And it's insane. So it would take hours to go in to why it's so amazing. It is just beyond spectacular. And by the way, we're going to have one that comes out that isn't flavored. The guys thought it was great. It's all natural, organic. You know, it's just pure vanilla and mint from the mint plant, oil, essential oil in it. So it doesn't taste bad. It actually tastes good. I'm a guy that likes my medicine to taste bad for whatever reason. Seems like it's better if it is, but this is the purest, strongest, and the only one out there that has natural, delicious flavoring in it. So it's amazing. Who came up with that? The vanilla and mint, it's delicious.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
All right, folks, the economic numbers are absolutely clear. The tariffs were written to backfire on the United States and cost taxpayers hundreds of billions of dollars and derail the recovery. I believe Trump was set up by Howard Lutnick, but he's rewarded him and praised him, even that was clear. So you make your own decision about whether that was conscious or not. But the fact is, what happened happened. And I don't get mad at boomers, not all of them, but, you know, the majority of them that just worship Trump and just need to believe because they look at the Democrats praising the murder of little children, the strangling of little babies, and celebrating Charlie Kirk's death and openly worshiping Satan. And they say, well, this is better. And it really isn't better because it's part of the same thing. It's just a betrayal. And we're not just watching Trump destroy himself and get the Republicans where they're going to lose the midterms, almost all the polls show. It's going to really hurt us bad. I mean, I am seriously concerned because we're on the verge of economic collapse. We were going into bankruptcy. Trump's plan was going to reverse that, and now it's not. So I want to play you two clips back to back. One is Tucker, just stating the obvious. This is why they get so mad at Tucker. And I've known Tucker 15 years. And I can tell you, he's absolutely the real deal. And behind the scenes, he is legitimately totally freaked out about the country and the world, and did everything he could to keep Trump out of this war, did everything he could to try to get the best people into the administration. He had a great effect getting Joe Kent and Tulsi Gabbard and RFK Jr. in. Trump called him almost every day for long periods of time. I only hang out with Tucker 2-3 times a year, and back then he'd have to go into a room and talk to Trump, and I'd sit out there and drink coffee for 45 minutes. And he would listen to Tucker, and then he stopped listening, and they stopped talking a few weeks into the war because Tucker told him, you are destroying yourself. These people hate you. Netanyahu hates you. They want chaos. The mullahs aren't going to fall. And Tucker was going off Pentagon reports, war games that were conclusive. Tucker wasn't just coming up with that himself. So the fact that Trump and his surrogates try to make it all about how Tucker is going to lose the midterms, but Tucker's not effective. Tucker and Alex Jones and, you know, all the rest of us, we don't have an audience, but if we lose the midterms, it's our fault. No, it's your fault. It's your fault, and no one can deny that, and that's what all the numbers and polls show. And then you got Scott Bessent, the Treasury Secretary, and when he was carrying out Trump's earlier plan that, according to economists I've talked to, and my own analysis was excellent, I said, well, even though he was Soros' chief economist for decades, and even though he's a big former Democrat and insider, I said, if he's actually working for Trump and Trump's drafting these guys in because they know how to work it, I said, I'll wait and see. But now the Treasury Secretary, as you know, last Monday monetized a bunch of U.S. debt, started QE again, bought a bunch of bonds, and it failed. It worked for about a day, and then the gains were lost, and then a bunch of countries and institutions saw that as weakness and moved even faster away from the dollar, which I predicted it would do, because we're in the end game here. Now he said we have to grow our way out of this. Well, how do you grow your way out of that? We've got 177 days of a third of the oil and fertilizer cutoff, and the $500 billion to Ukraine, and the 300-something billion just in weapons to this war, and the something like $70 billion in aid to Israel for the Gaza assault the last 3 years. And then you just add all of this in together. Yeah, Trump keeps saying he's got $20 trillion pledged for investment. It looks like 7 or 8 is starting to come here. That takes years to get in place. Depending on what economist you look at and what actuary, if you look at current debt, you need 4.2% growth rate year to year for at least a decade to stave off economic collapse and a downgrading of the U.S. debt, which has already started by the ratings agencies. And if you bake in just a small amount of the future debt and hidden costs, you're over 5.5%. And the United States usually has about 2% growth rate or lower. And so I don't see that happening. And here's another thing. We don't have all these years. Don't worry. You're like, well, you know, don't worry. We don't need, you know, 5% growth or more for 10 years. You know, I'm sure we'll, you know, there's some magic wand we can wave here. It's not there, folks. That's why Berkshire Hathaway has pulled basically everything out except farming, food production, silver, gold, and weapons, and then downgraded real estate from elite real estate to just working class real estate, because a bunch of us aren't going to be middle class. We're going to be blue collar if we're lucky. And Trump just moved most of his investments out of BlackRock, which is a positive thing, and almost entirely into Berkshire Hathaway. And the entire bet by Warren Buffett is on a collapse. No one's ever been in this much cash in history. And so Trump just bet with this Berkshire Hathaway move, and I've got the articles right here, on a collapse. Like, let me dig that out. I don't want to just say that and not show it to you. Now, the media spins this, and the story's up at alexjoneslive.com. Excellent article by Dan Lyman, that, oh, he's just getting away with it. I'm getting away from it because of the globalist nature of the ESG scores, that are the corporate social credit scores, that then the corporations enforce the social credit scores on their employees and on governments that take any of their investment. But really, it's because even though BlackRock was betting on a collapse scenario, it was still trying to pick the winners and losers. Berkshire Hathaway is betting on a total collapse scenario. And the fact that Trump just shifted most of his portfolio into a total collapse scenario, you can kind of make your own decision out of that, right? I report, you decide, as Fox used to say. So here it is. Treasury bars scammy ESG funds from Trump accounts, citing left-wing political activism concerns. And on the surface, that is a big part of it. It's not even a deceptive headline, but it's really about this. Trump reshuffles his portfolio in June, selling names like Meta and buying Berkshire Hathaway big time. You say, well, that's news from June. Why are we getting it this weekend? Well, that stuff's always a few months behind. You can go over this for yourself. And it's a massive move. So looks like Warren Buffett was right again. And I think Trump, at the same time I'm saying it, because I don't think Trump was trying to have a crash. At least the first 5 months of his administration, he thought he could turn it around. Something happened when he went from that to just screw it, I'll insider trade, I'll do whatever I want, I'll go completely crazy, I'll just give our people all pardons so they can do whatever they want. And that's because when you realize or you believe you can't fix it anymore, you go ahead and just take care of yourself. And I'm not defending that decision. I'm just saying that's what it looks like. And from my White House sources, that is exactly what's going on. So this is just more of where I come up with my ideas here. When Trump goes out of globalist position systems, I mean pure globalist thoroughbred Rothschild investments, who he's been working with heavily, and then mainly shifts over to Berkshire Hathaway, that's still part of the same power structure, but even betting more on collapse, I mean, just pure collapse, depression, I think that explains it. You don't need me to tell you what that means. After decades of free spending, Washington is facing some unpalatable choices. The Washington Post goes over the fact that we're at the end of the line, the debt, the bonds, no matter what we do, it doesn't work. The $40 trillion debt, the debt service to be in the multi-trillions a year. I mean, we're talking about now that it hit this point, it's going to go, it's already gone, the debt's already gone parabolic. You've seen the graph, it's going like that. And we're right here. So right now the debt service is, what, $1.3 trillion a year. And they're estimating within a year it'll be 2.5. And within a year or more, it just goes faster and faster, over 5. Different numbers, but let's just say 5.5. And it can be much worse than this. So let me show you something right here. Let me show the TV viewer something right here. This is a Zimbabwe trillion dollars, $10 trillion. And when Zimbabwe finally fully collapsed, you could buy a sandwich and a cup of coffee for this. That's $10 trillion right there. Like the Weimar Republic and the wheelbarrows of Deutsche Marks to buy lunch or dinner. So that's the thing about this is that, you know, we all know the peso in the early 80s devalued, but nothing ever to this extent, but it was still devastating. So you still go to Mexico today and the dollars. What's the exchange rate to the dollar, the peso? I don't know. 4-1 right now? I can't even remember. It varies. But that's like mild. It's still devastating. How about 1,000-1? How about 10,000-1? How about 1,000,000-1? So if you want to know what's going on, it's all about this. You know, what's funny is when this bill was put out, you know, 15, 16, 17 years ago at the depths of the collapse over in Zimbabwe, former Rhodesia, this thing had basically no value. The paper it was printed on is about the value it had. Now, when I wanted to buy these on eBay, as an example, years ago, and I had a bunch of these in the office. I don't know. While I was moving out of the M4 studio, I just found this one in my office. I had a whole stack up before. To buy like 15, 20 bills was like $100. So what's funny is it actually had more value as an example of fraud and as a cautionary tale. than it ever had in its real life as a currency. So if you want to know where we're headed, if we get 1% down the road of where Zimbabwe went, we're in a total depression because of all of our debt and all of our extensions and all the things that are happening. And so we're already spending $1.3 trillion a year on the debt, and within a year it'll be 2.5, and another year 5.5 or higher. Do you understand what this means? Okay, this is the end of the line here. After decades of free spending, Washington is facing some unpalatable choices. That's a nice way of saying doom. And most people don't live on farms. Most people don't know how to, you know, have an original economy to even barter locally. So what happens during a Great Depression? And I've talked about this thousands of times. I'll just say it again briefly and move on to the clips I mentioned, but this is really a big deal. Almost 90% of the United States in 1929 lived in rural areas. And they estimate in major studies that I've read and covered on air, and they vary university studies, they're all pretty much the same, that about half the people living in the rural areas were totally self-sufficient. They could had their own cows, their own turkeys, their own chickens, their own gardens, their own main crops. Hell, they were even growing their own tobacco. I mean, they were really self-sufficient. And between them and their neighbors, their neighbor might be a doctor, and another neighbor was a blacksmith, so they could barter stuff. So they had it. And you only had, 12% or so roughly living in the cities. Now we've got 85% living in the cities. It was like 90 until COVID, more moved the country. So it's like, 85% live in the country roughly. But they're not self-sufficient. And then you maybe got 5% that's totally self-sufficient, 10% somewhat. So you do the numbers out of that. We're not at 10% of people being even partially self-sufficient, and at 5% being self-sufficient. There were robberies, murders, roving bands, 7 to 11 million people, depending on the study, that starved to death during the Great Depression for those 10 years. And that's with half the public somewhat self-sufficient, or close to it, 40-something percent. You have that happen with 5% self-sufficient. Doesn't matter how many government bunkers they've got, how many secret weapons they've got. It doesn't matter what they've got. It's going to be the end of civilization. The nuclear reactors will melt down in all the actuarial studies within months. And then you've got all the elites' getaway plan is giant floating city yachts and support ships and private islands in the South Pacific. And there's news everywhere that that's where they're fleeing and deploying to. And bunkers in New Zealand and Argentina. So, not trying to be gloom and doom, just need to tell you where we are. So we're not just at the end of the old Soviet Union. That was one big corrupt federation and some of its satellites and groups it worked with. But still people, knew how to skin a buck, run a trot line. Most people knew how to work. So it was really rough for people, but they came out of it. We have this in a society where the average liberal white woman thinks it's cool to strangle a baby to death. And we're talking about total destruction. And that's all I can say is that we really needed to avoid this. Elon Musk said we need to avoid this. He went to the World Government Summits and explained all this to them years ago. And for whatever reason, the establishment decided not to stop this. And maybe it's because they can't stop it. They're going ahead with their plan. But I just want all of you to get ready and be prepared. And I will also ask you in these times that are coming, I will stay on the air as long as we can. I'll continue to fight as long as we can, but I can't do it without your prayer, your word of mouth, your financial support. So I think we're very important to stay on the air during this process as long as possible. I can't do it without you. So I humbly ask for your support, though I know it's harder than ever, to choose who you're going to support and to make those decisions and to support us here at the Alex Jones Network, alexjoneslive.com, and thealexjonestour.com. Okay, let's go to those clips as I mentioned it. Here's Tucker, and he's being demonized for this. This is just a statement of Alex Jones is wearing a black shirt. Alex Jones has a suntan. Alex Jones has blue eyes. Alex Jones has a black pen in his hand. Alex Jones has a world map behind him. It says Alex Jones Show in red and white in the corner. I mean, it's like, it's true. How is this bad? No, it's because it is the truth that it's bad. And, the Treasury Secretary, who'd previously said, no, we got to innovate and cut taxes on the average people, increase taxes and, tariffs on the ultra wealthy. Now he's like, well, we don't need tariffs and we don't need you know, the taxes will just grow our way out when you have all these wars and the rest of it that are sapping that away. So it's just the numbers are clear. It's not going to happen. So he's here telling you, oh, don't worry, we've got a plan, when he knows damn well the plan they had before was a good plan, but was still 50-50 if it would succeed. And now that plan's been thrown in the toilet bowl. And the military-industrial complex and the Israel lobby, the rest of them, they think with control of the media and the culture, they think we're so weak, they think they're going to just be able to ride this crisis out. And as things get worse and worse, people will give up their liberties and give up their freedoms and just go along with whatever in a unified balance sheet and taking everything you own and saying it's controlled by AI and creating a new economy. It didn't work with COVID. They admit that was an engineered plan for control. This is part two of that. This isn't going to work. Elon Musk has told them that. I've told them that publicly. It seemed like some of the establishment was listening, but they're not now. We can't even get most of the public, though, to even understand this is where we are. I'm having an adult discussion with the establishment here on air and, like, trying to talk sense into them. I still can't get a third or 40% of the public to even know this is real. They just hear, oh, yeah, that's how, oh, sure, what do you know, pal? Who are you? You know, this is all admitted. So, yeah, this is the fall of the Soviet Union times 1,000. This is bad. And you got the icing on the cake. The globalists want to had the threat of nuclear war to make China and Russia get in line. That's not going to work. It's going to go to full war, folks. Study history. And maybe we've just gone on too long. Maybe we are too decadent. Maybe the kind of the final signpost is women celebrating the strangling of little babies. And then women copycat killing. I'll get to after Strzok joins us next hour. But you have to recognize you've got a problem to fix it. And I've held back saying this for months on air because I still want to fix things, but I'd be a liar if I told you I thought that this could be reconciled at this point. We're going to crash. Can we have a survivable crash landing? I think we're down to that point, and I think you should get you and your family ready as soon as you can. I don't know the exact timelines. There's different scenarios, but it all runs from really horrible to end-of-the-world stuff. I don't normally start the show with, you know, it's the end of the world as we know it, but that's pretty much where we are. Let's go ahead and play those clips there.
As I hear your big picture description of this transition through which we're moving, the first thought that comes to mind is, boy, that sounds a little bit like what happened after the Soviet Union collapsed in the summer of 1991. And all of a sudden, Russians woke up 10 years later and all state industries were owned by a small group of people. It was
correct.
That's kind of what it sounds like.
Well, if you generally, I mean, I'm grossly oversimplifying, but if you look at the people who did the, it's called the Rape of Russia.
Yes.
You know, it's a similar group. And I'll give you a story. I was in the City of London making a presentation in 2001, and I'd been asked to speak about what I call piratization in the United States, the consolidation of the real estate and housing market. So I'd been the Assistant Secretary of Housing. And I gave the presentation, and two presentations followed, one by Ann Williamson, who had been covering Russia for the Wall Street Journal during the Rape of Russia. And she got up and gave a presentation. And then John Laughlin, who's a remarkable British commentator now in Paris, stood up and did the same on what had happened in Eastern Europe. And the three of us went into shock, as did many of the investors in the room, because we realized it was the same firms, the same law firms, the same intelligence agencies, and what they were doing in Eastern Europe and in Russia and in the United States was a very similar game. We have a big presentation at Slurry called Plunder. But they were basically going in and plundering, and it was one plan. It wasn't three different plans or three different groups. It was a process of consolidation of the economies in all three places.
And basically a privatization of the nation's resources.
Well, here's the thing. Privatization, Tucker, is when I transfer an asset or involve corporations in a service at a market price. Piratization is when I transfer an asset to a private party at 10 cents on the dollar.
Yes.
So at a below market price. And what we've been watching by and large around the world is piratization, not privatization or plunder.
They're looting.
Secretary. Yeah, if you could answer facing the cameras. But the $40 trillion mark that we passed for the national debt, would you comment on that, and how do we reverse that?
Yeah, look. The $40 trillion is a big number. It is smaller when we look at the publicly traded amount because our Social Security funds and other government entities hold a substantial amount. And what we're going to do, we're going to have to grow our way out of this. And as I talked about at G20 in Asheville, we are going to talk about the U.S. growth strategy and encourage the rest of the world to come along with us. We are also, I announced that Director Russ Vogt and I have been tasked with looking at fiscal consolidation. I think the numbers have are not the actual numbers now. We've had to do substantial tariff refunds due to the court ruling. But with the Section 301 tariffs, I am confident that we will be back to the same level, if not higher, of tariff income for last year. And that is most of the increase in the deficit. And remember, we did not get here in a day. That we were left with a mess. The Biden administration had the highest deficit to GDP in history when we weren't at war or weren't in a recession. For 2025, we brought it down by more than 1%.
Yeah, it's generally true that confidence in a government and a currency is key. And I tried to have confidence in what Trump was first doing because it was all the right moves. These are all the wrong moves. And the numbers are clear. I'm not going to lie to you. If you disagree with me, that's fine. We'll be taking calls during the weekday show this week, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Central, here on the Alex Jones Network. But, I hope they're opening the strait, but we've been lied to so much, I don't know. We're going to start the next hour. Got some interesting, fun little AI promos that some fans made. We'll air the first five. And then Brandon Strock's coming on about Bongino demonizing him. This is bigger than Bongino. It's about this demonization of Tucker, myself, and others. Why are they doing this? What is the point of that? It just turns off more of Trump supporters. I'm not getting down on their level. But why are they doing this? We need to look at that. And then I will spend 30 minutes on the celebration of this mother killing her kids, the copycat killings, and just all that's unfolding from that. Please remember, I'm listener-supported. The one thing you've got these guys try to take away, but you can fight them when they try to take it away, is your health. The supplements we have are the very best out there and are incredible, and you're insane if you don't get them. We have one of the best deals ever running at thealexjonesstore.com. Methylene Blue Liquid Tincture, the best medical grade. So incredible for your whole body. Stamina, energy, cleaning out your cells. It's incredible. Get a bottle of capsules of Methylene Red, a proprietary product that boosts Methylene Blue and works great on its own, free with your purchase of Methylene Blue Tincture at thealexjonesstore.com. Every order for a limited time, you get a bottle of Methylene Blue. You get a free bottle of Methylene Red at thealexjonesstore.com. And that funds your operation. Hour number two is straight ahead. My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts, go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you, Meta, Facebook is watching you, Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A. by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Online merchants, This is the place for you. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now. Supervillain, he's a government contractor hired to freeze entire cities so they can roll out the digital freeze dollar. They're turning the planet into a giant cryogenic prison and calling it climate change. Wake up!
She moves her hips up to her fingertips. I feel I'm heaven bound. And when she starts to sway, I've gotta say, she really moves the grass around. Rock, a hula baby, rock, a hula baby, got a hula loo from Honolulu. That's rock a hula baby of mine. Although I love to kiss my little hula miss, I never get the chance. I want to hold her tight all through the night, but all she wants to do is dance. Rock, a hula baby, rock, a hula baby got a...
We will take down the Statue of Liberty! Liberty and justice shall fall!
Aquaman, you go by sea and bring your friends. I'll go by air and meet you there. We must defend the Statue of Liberty.
Stranded on a deserted island with no food, no supplies, and no hope? Don't worry. The castaways had one thing the others didn't. Supplements from the AlexJonesStore.com. While everyone else was eating coconuts, they were powering through the apocalypse. The AlexJonesStore.com. Because survival starts with being prepared.
Alex Jones and his pests have learned more than they were ever meant to know. I will not suffer their continued existence. Girls, you know what to do.
Yes, my queen. Your wish is our command.
Now someone check on my insider trading. And get me a martini while you're at it.
Alex, my friend, I have detected hostile frequency on the airwaves. You are in great danger.
Thank you, Victor. We're on red alert. Crew, get to your battle stations now.
We're ready, sir.
Fire away. Job crew, no
Jones is off the air.
There's a lot of noise right now.
Taking me off the air. It is beyond essential that you continue to spread the word about the broadcast.
That's usually when it matters most, to have people in your corner who don't flinch. We've been a partner of this program for a long time.
I'm handing out ice water in the Sahara. The top rated, the biggest company, because they're the best, and he's a patriot.
We're not going anywhere, and that commitment runs to you. With us, it's 8% when you buy and 0% when you sell. And here's something else. After you make your first purchase and become a client, if you're holding metals you bought somewhere else, bring them to us. We'll help you liquidate them. No commission. That's not a promotion. That's just the way we do business. Give us a call, and we'll bend over backwards to help you.
Visit kepm.com/gold to get started, or give us a call at 720-605-3900. And let us help you make room for what matters most.
Crashing through the lies and disinformation, it's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
So we went through the globalist covert assault that was designed to bring in world government and their own documents. That failed. Then the globalists began to say we'll use economic collapse for total control, but Trump appeared to be opposing that at every front. That's why I was so behind him. In his first 6 months or so, 5 months of administration, he was making every right move. Now he's making a lot of wrong moves. I just spent an hour getting into that. But also part of this phenomenon is you have Mark Levin and Dan Bongino and Ben Shapiro and all these super unpopular people that used to be very popular, who've lost 90%+ of their audiences, that's public information, viciously attacking OG MAGA, like myself and others, and Tucker Carlson, saying that we're traitors because we pointed out that this war would be a disaster, the Strait of Hormuz would be closed, that we pointed out these tariffs would probably go sideways the way they were written, that we were right about all of this. So when I look at Brandon Strzok, who founded the walkaway movement that admittedly got conservatively hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of former Democrats to join with Trump, and we saw that really expanded to Tulsi Gabbard and RFK Jr. and so many others. When we see somebody like Dan Bongino attack Brandon Strzok and viciously attack him and viciously attack everybody else, including myself, when everything he said before he became deputy director at the FBI, he flip-flopped on, it's a case point of why are they doing that? When they're destroying their own audiences, it's a sliver of the previous support, but they have all this bot support. Why are they doing it? And I think it's pretty clear they're part of another team. And you've had Netanyahu secretly meeting with a bunch of the influencers, spending $1.3 billion on record to do that. That's a big part. But there's other interests doing as well. And they always accuse us, like Bongino was doing over the weekend, General Flynn, of being on a foreign government's payroll and not saying what. And trying to say Russia. That's the stuff Democrats used against Trump and us before. They used it against me. I've never taken money from Russia. I'm against war with Russia. So we see Trump really adopting a lot, not just neocon propaganda, but also Democrat propaganda. And the numbers are out, more poll numbers, the worst ever for Trump, for the Republicans. Trump's underwater in 47 states, one of the most unpopular presidents since polling began. Trump rants again about loser, MAGA, defectors, attacks all of us, Tucker Carlson and others, you know, more of the low IQ statements. So he says we don't have any audience and we don't have any effect, he said, but we're going to lose the midterms. Everything's our fault. So why are you talking about us? We don't have an effect. We want to have an effect to get you back to where you were. I don't think that can be done now. So I brought up Brandon because I saw his particularly eloquent rant about this on Wednesday or Thursday. That I should have just aired that. It's like 12 minutes long. I mean, it's a hole in one. He just perfectly stated, devastating, I'm not as eloquent, about Bongino, who I don't love to hate, but I know Bongino going back when he first showed up on the scene when nobody knew who he was. I was one of the first to ever interview him. And then, well, a few months ago, 3 or 4 months ago, he came out and said, I was on the phone with Jones once about to go on air, and he said, let's lie about a story. He didn't say what story. He didn't give specifics. He said, well, I still went on because I didn't know what I was doing. I never get on the phone, tell a guest, hey, let's lie about something. I hardly ever even talk to my guests before they come on. I might meet them at an event or talk about it. I said, hey, get Brandon Strzok on about the story. I sure as hell don't tell people, let's lie. But he didn't say anything for over a decade. Then he said, Jones is a liar. He asked me to lie. What defamation? You know, Tim Pool was attacking me, then said he wasn't attacking me. then said, oh, I know Jones got paid. I said, were you paid meeting secretly with Netanyahu when it came out you admitted you were? He said, oh, I made it public. I met with him. Yeah, after you got exposed. But I just said, are you being paid by the Israelis? He said, I am being paid by somebody to attack him. No, I'm simply calling out all of this pro-war garbage. So Bongino viciously attacked Brandon Strzok. All Strzok ever did on my show and on some others, and that's what he's mentioning here, was an interview, I guess, with Owen Troyer, that when he reached out for him as a J6er, though he was saying he was the champion of J6ers, and asked Bongino for help a few times, Bongino would email back and say, sure, I'll get you on, but never did. That's all he said. Why didn't he help us? So he turned around with this vicious, vicious statement and said, are you still mad I won't have you and your grift on my show? Put a diaper on and stop begging like a dog to come on. It's no grifters on my show. Now, it's been years since Brandon asked to go on his show. And back then, you know, we covered what happened to Brandon and what went on with him. They were trying to put him in prison for J6, didn't even go in the building. They tried to do that to me, too. We were in this together. But Brandon is known as being a sweet, nice, smart, empathetic person. Why is he attacking him? So this is bigger than Brandon Strzok or Alex Jones or Tucker Carlson. It's a sickness. And the question is, why is Trump supportive? So maybe you can kind of recap what you said in that breakdown a few days ago and just in general what you see happening with Trump. It was great being part of the debate with you. I know that's about to air soon, the neocons versus America First. Brandon, great to have you here with us. Brandon Strzok, hashtag walk away. And we'll put all that up on screen. Good to talk to you on this Sunday evening.
Good to talk to you, Alex. Thank you for having me on to talk about this. This is really, honestly, I have to say I'm a little surprised by how much this blew up over. It was trending on X for like 3 or 4 days. And to some degree, it still is. But I think that's really
well,
good.
Well, you're extremely likable. And Mongino is pretty much universally hated, which is part of the story. Why does he do this? Sorry, go ahead.
No, you're fine. But, you know, the point that I was trying to make and the point that I've been trying to make for years, talking about when I got arrested, which I was one of the first people arrested back in January of 2021, just about 2.5 weeks after January 6th, I was arrested. And so much was happening to every J6er that people thought they knew, but they didn't know. And of course, it's bad enough that people were getting raided and they were getting put in jail. They were getting extradited to Washington, D.C. These were all terrible things that the majority of the public knew. But there was so much that people didn't know, and you couldn't really know unless it was happening to you or if people would allow you to get the story out. I think I was the first person in the entire country to break the story that the J6ers had all been put on what they were calling the Quad S list, which is basically the highest level terrorism list that you can be on and still be allowed to fly without being just put on a full no-fly list. Now, I was having a hard time getting these stories out because I could only get, you know, on podcasts and, alternative media. I was a regular fixture on Fox News before I got arrested for January 6th. Then they wouldn't have me on anymore. So I ran around, you know, sharing stories like that for years on smaller, more kind of like alternative.
Well, sure.
Media.
I know where you're going to tell the story, which is emblematic and kind of a key to everything. That's why we're covering this now. But I was there, too. Trump was banned off X and everywhere else. He couldn't even get on Fox. I was fighting to get on shows and tell people I was banned everywhere that I didn't attack the Capitol. They were trying to indict me. It was an information war. We're being demonized. You've already been arrested. They've arrested, members of my crew. They didn't even go in the building. And this was a war. And here's Mongino, the champion of the J6ers. So you're reaching out. And then now you're a pathetic dog begging scum. Why he just brings you just to act like he's powerful, rejecting you now when he has almost no, it's very high schoolish.
Well, yeah. So that I was reaching out to him back in 21 and 22 to try to come on and share some of these stories because he was one of the people who on an almost daily basis was going on his show and basically, you know, fear mongering to his audience about what the weaponized Democrats could do and the weaponized FBI.
He's like, I'm the J6 champion. I protect you. Just like FBI whistleblowers. Then he would attack them when they came on. Sorry. Yeah. It's so he says he's the champion. It's like having a beaten woman's center. And then when the women come to the center, you beat them and put them in sex slavery or something. You see what I mean? I'm the guy. And you're like, well, help me. And then later I'll screw you.
But the point is, the point I'm trying to make is that he was missing like 75% of the information because he just didn't, like, he was just regurgitating what he was reading in the mainstream media without actually even knowing what the hell was going on. And this was part of the reason why I kept trying to reach out, because I'm like, you're missing the bulk of the story. And needless to say, if he had just not responded to me, I always would have assumed that he just didn't get my messages, but he was responding to me over the course of 2 years and basically being like, yeah, if I can find time on the show, I'll have you on. And I was like, you do a show for hours every day. What are you talking about? Anyway, I lost interest in trying with him in 2022. So I just stopped. And then now I recently started talking about it. I talked about it on your show around the 4th of July. I'm doing my own podcast right now. I had Owen Schroyer on. We were talking about some of these things and I brought it up and I just said, it's funny that the person who ultimately got tasked to become the deputy director of the FBI, the number two in charge of the FBI, is probably one of the people who knew the least about January 6th because he never expressed any interest whatsoever in actually talking to somebody who had gone through it.
And now he's heavily involved in the whole, well, I believe, a pipe bomber patsy.
A lot of people think that. And that's another great example because, again, he hasn't really had conversations with people who've done extensive research about the pipe bomber. I don't know the truth about that story, but I know that a lot of people who have been researching that story for a very long time are extremely skeptical that they've caught the right person. And I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I know all the facts and all the information, but I'm just saying there is a lot of skepticism about who they have apprehended in regards to the pipe bomb.
And the point is he totally flipped. So now he viciously attacks you, calls you a begging dog, a baby in a diaper, which is just emblematic. What do you think is going on with him?
Well, I think that he's embarrassed that he's getting called out. But again, I'm just telling the truth about my experience and what happened to him. And I didn't attack him. I didn't call him any names or anything. I just said, look, he slammed his door in my face when he had an opportunity to number one, help me out, and number two, learn a little something about January 6th. And I think it's exactly what I've been saying for a long time. I think he's extremely thin-skinned. I think that he is an egomaniac. I don't believe he ever went to the FBI with the intention of making any meaningful reform or change. I believe he wanted to wear cool sunglasses and carry a cool badge and wear a cool jacket and fly on private jets and go on Fox News and play FBI hero. And what he found out was that MAGA actually wanted to see real results. We actually wanted to see change. We wanted to know. We wanted transparency with the Epstein files. We wanted de-weaponization of the agency. And I think when he got in there and he was like, oh, damn, they actually want me to do stuff. And then he started getting criticized. Then he was like, this isn't fun at all. I want to go back to my podcast. And I actually think he thought he would get away with it. I think he thought he'd go back to his podcast and just pick up where he left off. But that's not going to happen because now the mask has been dropped. The truth has been revealed. People see what a spineless coward he is.
And so
I think it's over for him.
It is over. And people are going to ask me, because you've got huge topics and you're a great guest to have on another subject, why are we going into Bongino when he is absolutely a nobody that never was? But at the same time, he's emblematic of Trump in general, and Levin's numbers are in the toilet, Shapiro's. And they've all made this decision. I think it's more than being just thin skin and more being than just jerks. I think that's part of it. They made some deal because why is Trump destroying himself? I mean, the numbers are clear with the polls and the midterm. I mean, so I just think Bongino is an emblematic study of this. Do you agree with me? And how does that fit into larger 100%. MAGA and Trump? Because you're the guy that came up with a great idea that now seems totally common sense. And why didn't I think of it? Have big debates that are super viral about the MAGA divide, because that's really the issue. And now you agree with me a few weeks ago when you're on the show. The next debate is what is post-Trump? Because we had the debate with the four neocons. It's a powerful debate that's going to air soon. You'll tell us about that. And they just kept saying, we need Trump, we need Trump, we need Trump. Don't criticize him, it'll hurt him. We're like, we want his good stuff to happen. We're not in a cult, we're against this. But you understand, he's going to be gone soon. He'll be a lame duck after the midterms. And they're like, no, Trump. And now he's posting on Truth Social 2028 and saying he's going to be a king and like North Korean propaganda stuff. It's bizarre.
Well, yeah, well, first of all, let me address you hit the nail on the head when you said that Dan Bongino is emblematic. And this is another point that I've been making, honestly, from the point the administration started. I was not super excited with the choices for this administration right out of the gate for this very reason. As somebody who went through January 6th, I saw as Trump was filling his cabinet with cable news hosts, podcasters, influencers. And I just thought this is exactly what we don't need. Because if you are a podcaster or a cable news host or an influencer, by nature, you probably care very much about what people think of you. And you care about what people are saying about you online, and you care about your reputation. We need people who are going to go in there and not give an F about what people think about them, because there's a very serious job that needs to be done. And people need to go in there and just completely gut the systems, clean house. And I knew these people were not capable of doing it, whether it's Cash Patel, Bondi, Bongino. And look, I love Jeanine Pirro. I love I can't think of his name right now. I love a lot of these people on a personal basis. I don't think that they're capable of going in there and doing the job that needs to be done. And
the big thing was Musk was willing to do it and delivered the keys to shut this down, and they kicked his ass out 4 months in. That was when I felt a punch in the stomach, was when I saw that come out, and he said, no, Trump's in the Epstein files. I went, oh, my God.
But in regards to your comments about people saying, don't criticize Trump right now, well, I got to tell you, sorry to say, it doesn't make any difference whether you or Tucker or Marjorie or me or anybody else who's criticizing Trump right now. So much has happened. People are getting it on their own. And at this point, people are looking to voices that they can trust. And the worst thing in the world that we can be doing right now is just consistently going on social media or going on shows and carrying water for the administration, because people need to be able to trust somebody right now. They need voices that they can believe in. There's more than enough people gaslighting them on social media right now, like Dan Bongino. And Trump is not going to be around forever. And after these midterms, people are going to need to have people that they can listen to for guidance about what is the post-Trump, the post-MAGA movement.
Exactly. We can't taint ourselves just from saving the country to fight the Democrat Socialist of America, to fight the Islamic Red-Green Alliance and all this. I didn't Machiavellian think of this in the last year, sort of turning against Trump, but now it makes perfect sense just from, a perspective of long-term thinking. We've got to get clearly separated from Trump, which I'm glad he's calling us low IQ and, scum and all this, because that's good. We need to fully decouple from him so that we have a populist nationalist movement that the general public realizes isn't associated with it, to choose from with candidates and other things, even within the Republican Party, maybe even another party, against what the left is going to offer, because that's the real fight.
Well, and I want to go on record as saying I wish it didn't have to be that way. I mean, I wish that this was an administration that was similar to the first administration, where we could, as you often say, call balls and strikes and criticize where criticism is necessary, but that we didn't have to feel at odds with the administration in such a severe way as we do. But I don't believe we caused this. I don't believe – no one wants to feel this way. I mean, that is the whole point. But everybody is noticing that Trump has taken a sharp turn, and that this is a very different person and a very different administration than what we have seen in the past. So we really have two choices. We can either acknowledge it, talk about it, and start making a plan forward from it, or we can pretend like it's not happening, like so many other social media influencers are doing, who I think are completely debasing themselves, and I think – completely losing trust with anybody who sees clearly what's going on.
Yeah, can you speak to, I know you're a smart guy, so I know you've seen it. For at least 3 months, all these influencers who I like before do good work are literally posting him as a king, a god, as Jesus. Trump's doing it and saying he's invincible, he's wonderful. As the numbers implode, they are literally just putting out boomer slop and saying everything's fine, which to the general public is, I mean, I remember growing up, I've been on here 30-something years, but North Korean propaganda, it is the closest to that I've seen. Obviously, you've seen that. What do you make of that?
Well, I think they're being contacted by the White House. I think they're being contacted by the administration. There's about four people I can think of right offhand that this applies to. And by the way, some of these people were actually somewhat balanced and somewhat critical even 5-6 months ago, and now they're not at all, which makes me believe that they're being incentivized in some way to be pushing these talking points by the administration. But one of the talking points that they're pushing really hard, and it really irritates me because it's going to ultimately be to the detriment of all of us, and I think it's going to end up confusing a lot of people, is that because these Trump endorsements are carrying so much weight in the primary, that's proof that MAGA is stronger than ever, and it's proof of how successful we're going to be in November. I don't deny for a second that the Trump endorsement carries a lot of weight in the primary, but guess what? The primaries are traditionally carried by the boomers, and nobody's disputing that the boomers are firmly behind Trump. What's worrisome to me is that we're going to see a lot of people under the age of 50 abstain from voting, or possibly even worse. I hear a lot of people going out and protest voting for the Democrats, which I can understand that frustration, but I do think that's very stupid, and I would encourage people not to do that. But that is a piece of propaganda that I find particularly troublesome, because they're basically making people believe, don't listen to people like Alex Jones. Don't listen to people like Tucker Carlson. They're crazy. They don't know what they're talking about. They hate Trump. And the fact that Trump is, these endorsements are so successful in the primary is proof that we're going to kill it in November. And
I agree, but let's go further. A Trump endorsement comes with it almost always the RNC money. So it's not just his endorsement. It means the massive tens of millions per congressional campaign and things like that. And then, yes. but he was winning almost all of them before, not last week, not all, though they lost, the Trump candidates all over the country lost in the primaries.
Right. Well, and I've been looking at James Fishback's primary there in Florida too, because I saw some of these influencers basically saying that Fishback's defeat was proof that the, what they call, you know, a so-called America First rising movement is not as effective as people believe that it is. Well, take a look once again at the age groups. Pretty much under the age of, 30 or 40, something like 30% of those who voted in the primary voted for James Fishback over Byron Donalds. So it's once again, it's a tale of a generational divide as well as an ideological divide. And overwhelmingly, young people are moving away from MAGA and Donald Trump into America.
And there's
first.
A 10-year expiration date. Unfortunately, my parents are boomers. I don't want them to die. And they're Trump supporters, but upset like I am right now and basically off the train. But so it's not all boomers, but 65% of them. There's an expiration date on that. So this is big troubles. The question is, will young people vote communist, socialist, or will they vote America? We're trying to win in the future. We're looking ahead to the next level. But just in summation about Bongino, clearly he's got the talking points. He's on the agenda. It doesn't matter if he destroys himself. He believes, you know, he signed on with his team. He's doing it. And we see that everywhere. And so when we look at them as individuals destroying themselves, it doesn't make sense. Well, they've signed on to their team. So in a way, you've got to admire them that at least, you know, they're company men for what they're doing. But regardless, this debate that I was a part of, it's going to air very soon that you conducted in Dallas. Tell us about that, Brandon Strzok.
Sure. So recently in Dallas, we filmed actually five debates. You were part of the first one, which will be released August 31st. So it's MAGA versus America First. We have two of those out of the five. And basically what we're trying to do is put out on the table, where do we still have common ground and where have we irreparably split within the conservative movement on these issues? Because, you know, a lot of people, first of all, there are people that are in stark denial that there is a divide. Well, there absolutely is. And so I want to expose that. And I want people to see clearly what is the truth about this divide, free from propaganda. Let's get people who represent, you know, a voice on both sides of the of this split and get the truth out on the table. And I mean, the good news is that in a lot of ways, we still have more in common than we do different.
Sure. Stay there. Do a few more minutes on the other side. I'm going to shift gears. And I want to ask you before you leave. People celebrating this woman killing her three kids, copycat murders now, but there's not just a divide. The side against this war is the majority. So we're on the majority divide. We'll be right back with Brandon Strzok. Stay with us. My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts, go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. It's globalist siege. It's globalist economic warfare. It's a globalist blockade, an embargo, sanctions against American populist patriots. For everyone that's been watching and listening to me for years, you've seen the attacks. You've seen the deplatforming. You've seen the court battles, the news articles, the demonization, the bogus default judgments. We even have FBI and CIA operatives on hidden camera talking about how their entire goal was to take me out at the knees by knocking out my ability to accept payments. And that model they used on me, they admit, is for all of you.
Alex Jones.
Yeah, so we were after him.
So with Alex Jones. And the goal with him was what, just to bankrupt him?
Pretty much.
Well, because of First United Payments and your support, they failed. And they failed because I had a processor with a backbone who loves America and believes in the free market. One who stands up for American justice and who didn't back down when they received threatening messages and pressure from other major institutions. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Consolidation, vertical integration, that is the goal of the BlackRock globalist system. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. This is the key to their entire panopticonic takeover plan in their own words. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system. Even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. Visit First United Payments now at FirstUnitedPayments.com. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. That's 877-899-1313. The tyrants are counting on us not to innovate. They're counting on us not to migrate to institutions and organizations that are pro-human just like us. This isn't some new company. I've been using them for almost a decade. They're already taking care of most of the patriots. Whether you're a florist, have a gas station, or you're a farmer, or you've got a little five and dime shop or a factory, whatever it is, online merchants, this is the place for you. These guys are patriots and they're in our corner. They're Americans just like us and they hate the New World Order with a passion. They believe in the free market and they understand this is 1776 2.0. 90% of it is information warfare and financial. And this is just as important as the right to self-defense and guns. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Thank you so much. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
So you've got record low Trump merch sales. You've got major companies that sell Trump merch going out of business. You have his rallies being, you know, 0.1% of what they were. And then I made a point about this yesterday, and I saw the bots come in and say, oh, you mean you're not selling his merch? You're a scumbag. People don't want to buy it from you. Trump's never been, like, pro-Trump shirts we've sold. Never been a huge part of what we sell, but no one buys it now. And then you've got this rally he had a few days ago, and literally when we showed the original footage of the crowd, a couple thousand people maximum, people said, oh, you didn't show once he got there. So when we show you the footage, it's a gymnasium. He can barely fill it. And I'm not trying to undermine Trump. I've been through hell for this guy, but he has gone sideways. And yeah, show the raw footage that actually shows the crowd. It's just unbelievable. Look at this. And I'm sorry. The average age looks like they're 85 years old and half of them are asleep. This is before he comes on stage. So I showed this a few days ago. People said, oh, that's where he got there. Really, it's all full. It's a tiny gymnasium. And then we show you the footage once he got there that indeed that's the gymnasium. So what is that? A couple thousand people? Maximum? Maybe 3,000? He had Pennsylvania rallies with 150,000 people in a giant airfield, and 200,000, 300,000 couldn't get in. We covered some of those in person. Okay. And all of his rallies, he doesn't have them anymore, that they promote and push, get a couple thousand people. That is the proof here, folks. Okay. Yeah. Here's shots from Pennsylvania. And of course, that's on the ground. We can skip ahead to the wide shot with 150,000 people. We're live on air right now, but when I post this to X later tonight and on Rumble, we'll find his biggest rallies. It shows like a helicopter, and it's just like, it shows like an amusement park and, you know, amusement parks or at airfields. And it's just like hundreds of thousands, and the helicopter flies over and hundreds of thousands that couldn't get in. And it you know, and a million plus people that came out for J6. And I led rallies for Trump, hundreds of thousands in the weeks before that. So I've seen this, folks. And then the neocons say, no, he's more popular than ever. You're a Qatari agent. Shut up. Brandon Strzok, I want to play this little promo. The podcast we did together where you interviewed me a week ago, that drops tomorrow. I want you to tell people where they find it and then where they find the big debate you're saying comes out very, very soon. We'll tell folks about that in a moment, but here's the little promo. It's very well done. Here it is. I'm Alex Jones, and I was so naive. They would have the balls to coordinate two trials produced by HBO.
Do you consider yourself a conspiracy theorist?
CIA created the term. They can't argue with you. They just say conspiracy theory.
Do you ever say things intentionally just because you know that'll go viral, but you don't maybe necessarily believe what you're saying? I'm less interested in what you said than I am about what they did.
I still have the taint being demonized. And I'm still the guy, you know, don't say his name. I'm still the, watch out for that guy.
They really didn't come after you about Sandy Hook until Trump won and that you had an alliance with Trump or displayed it. Do you agree with that
in
your
estimation? It. Oh, my God. It's totally staged. They are as evil as I thought. I know I didn't do this stuff. And then they had $400 million judgment. They said that's not enough for what he's done. We want $2.76 trillion, trillions of dollars. A Bloomberg headline.
Billions or trillions?
Trillions.
To me, in my lifetime, is the most egregious offense, I think, against the First Amendment, maybe, that I've ever witnessed.
I'm telling you, I thought I knew how this worked. It was, like, so choreographed, that's when I got sick.
Did you actually have to pay that money?
I'm literally having to borrow money from family to pay my gas bill.
You can find Alex Jones on OnlyFans.
If I fund this operation, I'll do it. Right. I mean, I knew we weren't attacking the Capitol. We were all just like standing there. They opened the gates. We're like, oh, they're letting us in. You're like, oh, great. We're letting us in. At the end of the day, Trump doesn't want to be unpopular.
Right.
So
if he extended an olive branch, would you receive it?
I didn't turn against Trump. We're at a point of revolution.
Does MAGA become something else?
No, you know, it's not even right now, MAGA versus America First. The new thing is, what's post-MAGA?
We're currently existing in a system that is not sustainable. The Republican Party has no interest whatsoever in representing their constituents.
It's totally turned on the pub.
Who would you like to see become president of the United States in 2028?
Well,
a Texas appeals court has significantly slashed the damages families can collect against Alex Jones for his false claims about the Sandy Hook school shooting. The judgment dropped the amount from $50 million down to $1.5 million. Parents Neil Heslin and Scarlett Lewis, whose six-year-old son Jesse was killed in the 2012 Newtown massacre, had sued Jones. Jones had been found liable for damages for claiming the mass shooting didn't happen. The court ruled they didn't present enough evidence of harassment to exceed Texas's $750,000 damages cap. The decision does not change the separate $1.4 billion judgment against Jones in Connecticut.
But they combine those judgments, and they're in deep trouble, and I'll leave it at that. Major news breaks as soon as I'm authorized to break it. But they're in deep trouble. We have whistleblowers and more. I'll stop there. Brandon, thank you for being here with us tonight. In closing, tell us about your media platforms, where they find the podcast tomorrow, where they find the big debate. Like you said in Dallas a few weeks ago, you taped five of them. We're the first you're going to release. Your workhorse, these have all gone viral. Where do people find both the podcast tomorrow and when the debate drops?
Yeah, thank you. So for my podcast, they can go to YouTube or Rumble to my channel at the Brandon Strock YouTube and Rumble channel. For the debates, they're going to be able to find them on YouTube, Rumble, and X, and that's at the Walkaway Campaign, hashtag Walkaway Campaign channels on YouTube, Rumble, and on X, it'll be on my Brandon Strock and on the Walkaway channel. But I don't think people miss them. Like you said, the last several have gone very viral, and this one has Alex Jones and Andrew Wilson and Joe Kent and a number of great people. So I think everybody's going to be talking about it.
It's going to be big. Can't wait to see that. Brandon, thank you so much for the time today.
Thank you, Alex. Appreciate it.
All right. We've got a big guest host coming up that you don't want to miss. Tonight, Sunday Night Live. And I'll tell you about that coming up in a moment. But I've got to hit something really, really sad now. But we have to do this because the corporate media is not humanizing this. They are not really getting into what really happened here. But we're talking about sacrifice of children. We're talking about women so brainwashed that abortion is a special right. They want to be able to kill their children after they're born. And we're talking about leftist white women that literally think that it is something good to kill your children. And there's no crowds at the trial of this woman, Lindsay Clancy, behind the prosecutors. They're by themselves. There's a huge courtroom full of supporters. And hundreds of women, sometimes thousands, lining up in pink when she comes in cheering, saying, "We love you, Lindsay Clancy." Now you've got copycats and all these women setting their houses on fire and torching their kids on TV. I covered it Friday. And then I hadn't done this until Friday night. I went and I read the police reports and her confessions and all the rest of it. And we're talking about a woman in a middle-class house that doesn't have to work with a nice husband. She never claimed anything to her. Deciding one day that she's going to take exercise rubber bands and murder her three small children. So she strangles the 8-month-old, then she strangles the toddler, and then the little boy runs away and tries to get to his dad's office, thinking his dad's going to save him. And then I read the transcript of the 911 call about my little buddy, he's dead. He first finds his little dead son. Let me show you an overhead shot of these children. These are humans. And you don't see any of people in the courtroom wearing pins for the dead children. You don't see signs for the dead children. What you see is women celebrating it and cheering and getting teary-eyed when she drives in, getting off on the evil. So Lindsay Clancy, a former labor and delivery nurse from Duxbury, Massachusetts, is on trial for the January 2023 strangling death of her three young children, Cora 5, Dawson 3, and Kaylin, 8 months old. And Dawson, the little boy, literally, reportedly tried to fight and protect the other children, but she got him last in the office. He was looking for daddy to save him. She pled not guilty to three counts of first-degree murder, arguing she was not criminally responsible due to the postpartum psychosis and bipolar disorder. Okay, let's just for the sake of argument say that's true. Why are there women celebrating this? Why are people saying this is good? And now you've got copycats all over TikTok and all over everywhere else. I mean, I can show you hundreds of these. I watch these. It like sucks my soul. I don't even want to play these things here. Prosecutors contend that Clancy acted intentionally and rationally, pointing to her search history for suicide methods and her alleged use of exercise bands to kill the children while her husband was away. The defense argues she was suffering from psychotic break, citing auditory hallucinations of male voices commanding her to kill the children, the demons, and herself, as well as her desperate, albeit fragmented, attempts to seek mental health. Following the killings, Clancy attempted suicide by slitting her wrist and neck and jumping from a second-story window. Should have gone higher, lady, leaving her permanently paralyzed from the waist down. The trial, which began July 26, was focused heavily on her mental state, with testimony from her ex-husband, Patrick Clancy, who has since remarried, medical experts, and a hospital chaplain. The case has sparked significant public debate regarding maternal mental health, the advocacy of psychiatric care and the postpartum conditions and the legal standards for insanity defenses. Yeah, what did I call on Piers Morgan 2013? Called them suicide mass murder pills. But there's no discussion of that on the insert, says it can make you do this stuff. But the reality here is that you talk about premeditated. She searched how to do it. Somebody that's really completely insane and out of their mind is not like planning and searching. No, this was demonic possession. This was actual evil. And imagine you get a big exercise rubber band. I mean, I've used them to stretch my shoulders out. I've got them at my house. My shoulders hurt. I'll sit there for 20 minutes and do it. I'm wake up in the morning. And imagine wrapping it around your eight-month-old's neck for 4 minutes at least to kill somebody while they struggle and battle. This is your child overriding your parental instinct, your maternal instinct, and then the lights go out. And then you chase down the eight-year-old and you tackle her and you strangle her to death while she begs, "Mommy, Mommy, please don't kill me." And then you chase down your three-year-old son and you murder him. But even more grotesque is the women supporting this and defending this. And through every culture and every society and every system where this has happened over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, whether it was the Mesoamericans or whether it was Western Europeans or Northern Europeans or whether it was the Middle East or Africa or Asia, every culture at some point becomes demonically possessed and has a special priest class that demands sacrifice of children. And this is about abortion after birth. That's what all the laws were. 12-year-olds, the parents don't know their medical rights. They're not involved. The state takes the medical rights. This is all about euthanasia. It's all about killing your kids. It's all about transgenderism and these destructive surgeries. It's all about evil. And because there is no leadership for men and women in America, particularly though women, they're absolutely lost and under the system's control. So I got a newscast I want to play of this. 1-year-old expected to fully recover after surviving mother's knife attack that killed 2 siblings. And there's video that's on X of the little 1-year-old with his throat slit in the hospital with the father. So this woman slit the throat of the other 2 siblings. A 1-year-old boy is expected to fully recover after he suffered an alleged attack by his mother that took the lives of 2 siblings. The family of 1-year-old Colton said last week that the surgery went well and he finally smiled, according to the GoFundMe page. "We are so deeply grateful for the incredible support for our community. Colton is recovering in the hospital. His surgery went well and doctors expect a fully physical recovery from the attack. Last night he finally smiled at us and it was his most beautiful thing we've ever seen after everything we've been through, seeing the smile through the wave of overwhelming emotion and grief." And there's photos again. There he is with his throat slit with his father. Family said Colton survived August 6th attack in North Dakota. So here's a newscast on that. But just look at this photo right here. And this is perfectly set. I reposted this on X, Real Ox Jones. Not one person wears a pin with the 3 Clancy children at the courthouse. Nobody sits behind the prosecution. It's just as if the 3 never existed. Murdered by their mother. If that ain't Satan, I don't know what is. And then you've got a bunch of people celebrating it. I already played this Friday. I mean, there's hundreds of these. I can't even watch them. "Oh, my God, she's coming. Oh, we love you. Oh, you're so great. Oh," the lawyer getting off on it. I mean, these are sick people. Because, sure, you got a terminal disease. You want to commit suicide, I'm not going to judge you. But this is the state wanting to kill you. And it was all the people that are into state assisted suicide. Well, the state now in Canada and the Netherlands basically kills you, makes you war of the state and kills you. It's about the state killing you. It's about the power to kill. And these people, these weak, pathetic people, get off on the death. Oh, and she's a victim and they're all out there to support her. And they totally, what is in these women's minds for this obscenity to act like this? I mean, I could not imagine wrapping my hands or a rubber band around my children's neck, especially when they were, I couldn't do it when they were adults. My God, impossible. But babies and chasing your son down as he screams, "Daddy, Daddy," and then the dad comes home, 911, "Buddy, Buddy, he's dead," as he's finding each dead kid. And these women come out and say, "Oh, I bet he killed him," while they simultaneously defend her and say, "No, she was under pressure. That's why she did it." It's like the Carmelo Anthony supporters. Now we have him going outside and grabbing the knife. Now we learned he was planning a mass shooting in the school. And they defend that. It's all like whatever the group is. Oh, it's a woman, defend it. Oh, it's a black guy, defend it. If he said some crazy white guy, stab innocent white guy, and the evidence is the white guy did it, I say, put him in prison or, you know, execute him. I'm like, oh, it's a white guy, so I'm going to go sell it. But it's groupthink. It's this mindlessness. It's evil. Here's the story out of North Dakota.
Woman living her own worst nightmare. That's how one of the defense attorneys representing a Durham mother describes her case.
Andrea Faust is accused of killing her 3-year-old son and trying to kill her 23-month-old child in February. She plans to plead not guilty by reasons of insanity. WRL Sean Gallagher has been following this case. He joins us live. Sean, we should mention Faust's defense says that this case is eerily similar to a national case, the Lindsay Clancy case out of Massachusetts, that's making big headlines.
Yeah, that's right, Dan. She said exactly that, that these are eerily similar, and you can see why when you see that case in Massachusetts where Lindsay Clancy is accused of killing her 3 children. But here in Durham, the attorney for Andrea Faust hopes that this case will demonstrate how to properly treat and rehabilitate a woman who's going through her worst nightmare. The attorney for Andrea Faust tells me the headlines read like a postpartum psychosis case. But after meeting with Faust for the first time, attorney Nicole Golinski tells me in a statement, "I knew this was a not guilty by reason of insanity psychosis case." Faust was initially found incapable to go to trial in March, but that was reversed in May according to court documents. Now, she'll undergo another mental health evaluation for her not guilty by reason of insanity plea.
It is a defense that is easily made, but very difficult to prove.
NC Central Law Professor Irving Joyner explained what's needed to prove this kind of plea.
It means that they have lost control of their mental faculties such that they don't understand right from wrong. Well, a lot of people are skeptical of it, and well, they should be. And the burden is on the defendant to establish with a high level of evidence that they have
no
control.
Stop there. So the lawyer for the lady is named Faust. Never heard anybody have that name. It's a German name. Faust is a classic protagonist of a German legend who makes a pact with the devil, trading his soul for unlimited knowledge, youth, and worldly pleasures, based loosely on a real-life 16th-century alchemist named Johann Georg Faust. The character anchors masterworks by Christopher Marlowe and others. Oh, we got another one. It's another lawyer. Oh, it's another person. Durham mother accused of murdering child makes court appearance. A Durham mother accused of murdering one of her young children, attempting to kill another, made her first court appearance on Tuesday from a hospital bed. Her original court date was scheduled for Monday, but was moved due to a medical emergency. 41, Andrea Faust, so it's not the lawyer. I got confused with the lawyer talking about it. Faced a judge after Durham police say they found her 2 small children unresponsive. Yeah, I'm confused. You guys gave me this other article, and you were telling me it was the lawyer. Go ahead. It was the third killer. I got it. So Faust is not the lawyer. Faust is a third killer. So it's not the lawyer of the lady. There's a third killer named Faust. You guys did tell me it was a lawyer. That was my issue. I'm not mad. Just trying to, because I'm not getting told a lot by the crew, but they were just bringing me stuff in like, here's another one. Here's another one. The lawyer of the lady's named Faust. Who, I'm not mad, but who told me that? It's not bad. Okay, it's fine. I just want to be clear that stuff's moving quickly here. There's so many women copycat killing here, we can't keep track of it. So it's not a lawyer named Faust. It's another woman. So another woman in North Carolina named Andrea Faust faces a judge after they say they found her two small children unresponsive on Thursday. A Durham woman accused of murdering one of her young children, attempting to kill another, made her first court appearance on Tuesday from a hospital bed. She is charged with one count of first-degree murder and one count of attempted first-degree murder. During the appearance, her husband spoke and pleaded with his wife not to hurt herself again. He added that the case is a tragic case of mental health breakdown. Oh, yeah. Yeah, none of these women take responsibility. So, sorry, folks. Stuff's breaking here. There's so much. So you got Massachusetts woman killing three kids. You got another woman trying to kill three kids in North Dakota, killing two, slitting a little boy's throat, but he survived. And you got this woman trying to kill two kids, killing one, reportedly, allegedly. I can't even keep track of it. Clancy copycat, Durham mother accused of murdering child, makes court appearance. Wow. So, and I'm getting a bunch of other reports. I mean, you see it on TikTok, burning down their, setting their houses on fire, torturing their kids on TV, and women going, yeah, this is badass. Kill them. Kill, kill, kill. I don't even know what to say at this point. It is just absolute, total and complete cuckoo town at this point. But it's a woman's right to kill their kid. Actually, Dr. Peter Singer, who was the main guy behind PETA, he says parents will kill their kids up to age three. And that's what bioethics is. The state decides whether or not you have value, your child has value. You know, it's the death panels that Bill Gates talks about, and that's where this really all goes. All right, Royce White is set to take over right now. And he's always loaded for bear. So be sure and join him for Sunday Night Live. You'll find the feeds at Real Alex Jones on X and on rumble.com/ The Alex Jones Show Live and at alexjoneslive.com. But just briefly, we have a really big deal running. That's how we fund this operation, is you buying great products that really empower your life. At thealexjonesstore.com, we have ultramethylene blue that skips the oxidation process of the cells, gives you incredible energy with no letdown. It's like a stimulant, but not a stimulant because there's no letdown. So good for your whole body. With methylene red, it's a proprietary product that supercharges your body's own cells in similar ways, but in different ways. It works great by itself or with methylene blue. That's a proprietary product that we developed. Methylene blue, free bottle of the best quality you're going to get with a free bottle of methylene red capsules for a limited time at thealexjonesstore.com. And that's how we fund this operation. And for a limited time, because it's already a bestseller, but people have never had it to try it, we have the Shilajit gummies that has all these natural peptides, boost testosterone and more. We have the very best. Get a free bottle with every order of that. It is absolutely an amazing deal. It's the end of the summer mega sale going on right now. Ultramethylene Blue, 50% off. Methylene Red, 50% off. Atomic Defense, 50% off. Superfood Green Gummy, 50% off. Creatine Powder, 40% off. And more at thealexjonesstore.com. Thanks for keeping us on the air. Royce White, set to take over on the other side of this short 2-minute break. But whatever you do, just know that God is in control and a relationship with Christ is key. Without God, we have nothing. With God, we have everything. Great job, crew. I'll see you back tomorrow at 11 a.m. Central for my main transmission.
Started having seizures like a few years ago, and everybody in my family knows I'm a neuroscientist.
What did you do to fix it?
Methylene blue.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson was on here talking about it.
This stuff works, man.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene blue.
Show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
You shouldn't have to tell a doctor about methylene blue. I think everybody should know about it. It's changed my life.
It kind of gives you like a boost of energy. It's not like an energy drink where you get the jitters or like you're just ready for the day and you're never going to sleep. It's more so like it clears the brain fog where you're actually, you know, able to focus more clearly.
You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible.
It's really interesting. I almost like feel smarter.
With Methylene Blue, I do notice that it does seem to give me more mental energy.
I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures without it. Let me tell you something. What a blessing.
It is a miracle, and it's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there. My kids take it. My wife takes it.
Everybody takes it.
What a blessing. I don't care what anybody says. I know what it's like with it, and I know what it's like without it.
Unlimited power!
I'm not going to be like that.
Well, I'm like that normally.
So. Yeah, you are like that normally.
Unlimited fabulous power!
Volunteer power!
Ha ha ha!